This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hello, hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Equal Agenda podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Imi.
And I'm Roman.
And this week we're going to be discussing, is there a right way to be a feminist? Or is there a wrong way to be a feminist?
I personally don't think there is a right way to be a feminist. I don't think there's a particular rule book for how to be a feminist. I don't think there are really two specific rules that you have to follow to be a feminist. I think it's quite a broad field. I think there's a lot of ways that you can do feminism.
Yeah, I think of feminism as kind of this big tree, and there's lots of branches coming out from that. So there's lots of different sub-genres in the term feminism. But I think today we're kind of going to be discussing what that means to us and kind of ones that maybe we don't necessarily agree with. But to start the episode, we're going to be discussing our historic figure as per usual. And this week, our historic figure is, Roman?
Judith Butler. So Judith Butler is an American philosopher and queer studies scholar who has contributed significantly to the idea of the performance of gender, of gender performativity. So this is essentially the way that gender is created through performances, through actions and interactions that can reinforce things like heteronormativity and cisnormativity. And so she has contributed a lot to feminist and queer scholarship. Often these two sort of intersect and intertwine in terms of theory.
And they're quite a big name within their field, so feel free to look up some of their work and what they've got to say.
Yeah, some of her books, Gender Trouble, Feminism and the Subversion of Identity, is one of her most popular works.
Awesome. I want to start off by kind of taking us back to my childhood. And growing up as a young girl, I was always real passionate about gender equality. I didn't know what the term feminism was when I was younger, of course, but I remember being in class and hearing the teachers go, oh, I need two strong boys to come and carry this desk or move it. And I remember something within me, I was like, nah, that's me. I got that. And I would, even though it would be painful and I like was probably not strong enough to lift whatever it was, chairs, books, tables, I would do it because I was like, no, I want to prove you wrong. And I've always been someone who's wanted to prove others wrong. But I think that even then, I kind of knew there was a difference between the way in which men were treated and the way in which women were treated. And I think that kind of contributed to my idea of what feminism was at that age. And I'd say when I was kind of in high school or college, I kind of started realizing some of the stereotypes and stigmas that kind of came along with the word feminism or claiming that you were a feminist. And I honestly thought it was a bad thing, or the people that I were around kind of treated it like a bad thing. I was kind of judged or viewed differently for claiming to be a feminist. And I think that's the case for many people. I think in many countries, many people feel scared to say that they're a feminist. And for me, I remember specifically like in lunch times, hearing some of my guy friends maybe saying some sexist remarks or like just casual misogyny. And anytime I'd try to be like, hey, like, what was that joke? That wasn't funny. Or what was that about? I don't get it. Or like, hey, that offends me as a woman. You're actually being offensive. It was always the same thing. It was always, oh, you're so dramatic. Oh, you're one of those feminists. Or, oh my God, like, can't you just take a joke? So I feel like there's always been kind of a stigma with the word feminism. And I don't know. Why do you think that is, Roman?
I've definitely seen it. I know what you're talking about. And I think it was around, I don't know, maybe sort of 2015, definitely early 2000s kind of era. There was this huge sort of backlash against feminism. There was a characterization of feminist movements as being somewhat too radical, that women were demanding too many rights, and that there was this idea of like the social justice warriors, in air quotes, that were just overstepping. And that really negatively impacted, I think, on the word feminism. I think people associated it with something that realistically is more of sort of like a folk demon than anything actually real. Like, it's about challenging these assumptions that are rooted in things like heteronormativity and this sort of patriarchal structures that very well still do exist. And if anything, that characterization of feminism is sort of like a defense mechanism of patriarchy to sort of say, like, look at these people, they're overreacting, they're hysterical, they're these social justice warrior feminists, and it's become like a bad word almost.
I literally remember thinking, oh, feminism is only for girls or only for women, because I wasn't seeing many kind of prominent figures at the time. I'm talking a while ago, like when I was probably in early like years of high school. And I remember thinking, oh, to be taken seriously as a feminist, I can't be seen as girly. Like, I didn't want to wear dresses. I thought wearing makeup, like, people wouldn't take me seriously, or like, I never wanted to wear high heels. And, oh, if I play rugby, like, I'm going to seem more like tough, more badass, and just all these kind of things that I was like, oh, I have to be taken seriously as a feminist, so I can't, you know, go out and go shopping and do things that maybe I actually enjoy, because then I'm taking away from what it is to be a feminist. Like, I had this preconceived idea in my head of what a feminist should look like, and yeah, that kind of like warrior that's like fighting for every right and everything. That's actually just not true. Like, there's no right way. There's no right way to be a feminist.
No, I get that. You are sort of led to believe that there is a certain type of feminism. There is a right way to be feminism. And I don't know if that's because for so long there is like sort of the dominant, I guess, school of thought has been like Western liberal white feminism. But it's, yeah, there isn't really a right way to do it. Like, you can be feminine and be a feminist. You can be masculine and be a feminist. There are men that are feminists, and there's entire bodies of thought in feminism that are focused around empowering men, I guess, to challenge, like, dominant masculine hierarchies.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, to actually break it down, what feminism at its core actually is wanting, like, equality. Mm. That's what it comes down to. And I remember, like, I challenged some of you guys, like, ask specifically males in your life, like, are you a feminist? Do you define yourself as a feminist? A lot of them, sometimes they get taken aback and, like, they're actually defensive. They're like, oh, what do you mean? They don't actually, they think that to be a feminist, it comes with all these things. Like, it comes with all this baggage that you have to hold on to, which is not true. Like, some of the best feminists I know are men.
No, I definitely think, I remember there was a poll done in the UK. I think it was something like 40% of men around that figure would say that they were feminist, which is not the majority of men. That is a minority. But it shows that at least, you know, 40% of men are willing to admit that they're feminist, whether they believe just in equality between men and women or if they actually are going out there and doing activism in order to achieve that, or they're engaging with theory or anything like that, because there are different levels of it. You know, you can be a feminism in that you just support gender equality or gender equity, or you can be feminist in terms of actually activism, in terms of going out there and engaging with other people, engaging with politics and politicians, protesting, things like that, being part of a civil society group. And you could be feminist in terms of, like, theory, in terms of engaging with and crafting theory, like Judith Butler, who contributed significantly to theory by crafting and contributing the idea of gender performativity.
And I guess everyone kind of has their own definition to what it means to them. It is interesting because I know that a lot of people, like men and women and those in between, I know that there is so many people that believe in equality for all, but they wouldn't want to use the title of feminist because it scares them. Like, there's so much, like, a word holds so much power and can provoke such, like, fear. Or not necessarily, like, fear. Fear or anger, maybe. Different emotions just from a word. I think that's quite amazing, like, whether or not necessarily it's a good thing or a bad thing.
I think definitely there's – culture definitely comes into it, and definitely political and economic sort of – culture. If you look at, there was a particular type of feminism that I looked at that was, it was like neoliberal feminism. And it was sort of contradictory because the whole idea behind neoliberalism is a more sort of radical individualism, right? neoliberalism accepts that there are going to be inequalities, that it relies on inequality, and it focuses on largely on the individual, so like individual merit, like you get where you are because you help yourself, you pull yourself up by the bootstraps, right? And the idea behind it is that from a neoliberal standpoint, you increasing the amount of women in the workforce is going to be, it's going to benefit like the economy essentially, right? But you see, even within these neoliberal attempts to sort of bring women into the workforce, bring women into the economy, there is still devaluing of women's labor, of the work that they do. There are still these stigmas that linger around women as a group. And that's the real stupid thing about it, is that most of the problems are collective problems. They're societal issues. These things apply to everyone as a group, or like women as a group. And so neoliberalism can't really give you the answer to that because it focuses so much on the individual. It's just, yeah, it's a bit odd.
I guess it's kind of that whole thing about like, is this actually empowering women, or is it just using women like for your, and feminism for your benefit? And I think that kind of leads me on to my next point of, I don't necessarily think there's a right way to be a feminist, but I definitely believe that there's some wrong ways,
or some
self-proclaiming subcultures within the feminist community that in my eyes are definitely not what feminism stands for and not what feminism has historically been about. I'm just going to run through a couple of these. First one that I'm not a fan of is white feminism. So this is basically what it sounds like: fighting only for the rights of white women, ignoring the oppression of race and intersectionality of women of color. How can you be fighting for equality but not fighting for equality of all? Like, make it make sense. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, I think intersectionality is one of almost like the one of the most important concepts in feminism. You can't really have feminism without intersectionality, because you're ignoring the differences in treatment that women will get because they're woman, and then because of another thing, right?
Yeah.
So like, you might be a woman and you could be black, or you could be a woman and you could be of lower class. And yeah, women and people of lower class definitely have their own separate struggles, and those, they can experience those together. But sort of what this talks about, what intersectionality talks about, is that there are particular struggles that occur when those identities intersect. So if you're a woman and you're lower class, you will have an experience of a lower class woman, and that's not going to be the experience that any just typical lower class person will have if they're not a woman.
Yeah. And an example of this is like, we hold the suffragette so highly, and like, they were able to bring the right to vote to women. But if we look at, for example, in the US, the first state to grant women the right to vote was in 1869. But it wasn't until 1964 and 1965 that the exercise of voting became more or less equal for black women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're sure you've like fought for one thing, but you've just completely left out a whole nother group. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's not equality, and I don't think you can claim to be fighting for equality if you're not fighting for equality for all.
And especially in the civil rights movement, black women faced a really tough position of not being able to align themselves with the sort of Western white feminists, who obviously before the Civil Rights Act and even at sometime after it were essentially excluded and almost ignored by Western white feminists. And they felt that they couldn't be a part of these movements because it just didn't account for them. It didn't even want them, really. And then they also felt sort of discriminated against even within the civil rights movement. They felt that there could be homophobia and misogyny that sort of wound its way into that. And you see that still a lot, especially in marginalized communities, where there seems to be almost stronger sort of patriarchalism and homophobia and heteronormativity. And wondering whether that's a relic of sort of like colonial hierarchies and other sort of racial / patriarchal hierarchies that are imposed upon marginalized people by the colonizer, right? By, in the case of the civil rights movement, the American government that had for so long oppressed African Americans through slavery and then through Jim Crow, that these had just become sort of baked into their sort of social consciousness.
It's all about the different hierarchies and the way that they intersect and how that creates like new obstacles and challenges that someone just from one wouldn't have to face. That brings me on to my next kind of group of feminists, air quotes used, is girl boss feminism, which some of you listening might be like, well, what do you mean? Like, it's so good to have girl bosses and like, that's so cool. What I'm referring to is privileged white collar women using feminism to boost their own economical growth without giving back or actually acknowledging the roots of feminism. They're often reinforcing the oppressive capitalist hierarchy, like what we were talking about before. So to break it down, I'll give you an example of maybe Kim Kardashian. She is using kind of this whole model of like, she's a girl boss first in her field to like, you know, be making this amount of figures, blah, 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 blah. But she's not acknowledging the fact that she actually comes from wealth and that there's other systems set up in place that allows her to do this. Like, not every woman is going to be able to succeed in the way that she is. Therefore, she's kind of taking away from their experiences. And I think that she's also built her whole platform and like made all her money from using feminism, but she's not giving back to those like most in need. And I think that feminism, a big part of it is like giving back and acknowledging those that fought for your right to do what you're doing today. Like, for example, she wouldn't be able to be a business owner without all the different ways of feminism. So at least, you know, acknowledge them a little bit. What do you think?
No, definitely. I think there's a sort of, it's like, it's grifting. She's had so much success. And a lot of that is going to be off the backs of other people, other women that aren't recognized, and just sort of attributing it to some vague feminist notion without acknowledging that, again, intersectionality, there is a difference in class there. There's a difference in the types of privilege that she has compared to others. And essentially promoting this, the system that she used to get in to the position that she is now is, if anything, sort of a betrayal of a lot of the ideas that feminism advocates for. And especially if you want to go into like more critical feminism, like Marxist feminism, she is advocating for other women to essentially participate in a system that only serves to perpetuate the oppression of not only women, but like working people essentially, right? So she is a member of an elite class of people who is saying, well, you should just do what I'm doing, right? You should engage in this system that is built to keep you oppressed. I think it's just, it's really hypocritical.
Me personally, I have a real issue with the term itself, girl boss or female CEO. We don't bring male gender to these terminologies usually. So why are we having to bring up the fact that it's a like a girl boss or a female boss. Like,
yeah, it's like a sort of feminist appropriation of these terms. You don't need those.
Exactly. Like, why can't they just be a boss, or why can't they just be a CEO? Like, why do you have to bring their gender into it?
It's obscuring class with what they say is feminism, but it's not feminism.
Another one. This one's a bit of a tricky one. I'm almost like conflicted about how I feel because, yeah, it's really complicated. So choice feminism. Choice feminism disguises any woman's choices as empowerment without any meaningful critique around the oppressive systems that actually shape the choices. Like,
right.
What comes to mind is like tradwives or like the kind of rise of those like conservative like women, like kind of bringing back those kind of roles, and their whole claim to fame is like, well, I'm choosing to do it, so you can't get mad at me, like it's my choice. Which, yes, I agree with that. Like, if you actually want to be doing those things, yeah, sure, it's still not a choice for many people, is
yeah,
what I'm trying
exactly
to say.
You're engaging with this thing just sort of completely uncritically, and you're disguising it as, you know I have agency, I have my freedom as a woman. But ultimately, like, yes, you do, but it's still incredibly harmful, because what you're advocating for is going back to a time when you didn't have the choice, where you didn't get to choose whether you wanted to be a trad wife or you didn't, because that was just, not only was it like socially expected, it was legally imposed upon women. You couldn't even go out and get a job. So I think it's just really disingenuous, if anything.
And we're not saying that if you want to stay home and be a trad wife, or you want to stay and be a stay-at-home mum, like, that's amazing. Like, good on you. Go ahead and do it. That is, we're all for that. But it's just, you know, acknowledge the people that got you that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You need to be aware of the struggle that led to you being able to choose that lifestyle instead of being forced into it from the get-go.
Yeah, 100%. The next big one, this is TERFs. So,
oh, love that.
Yeah. Big boo. So
thumbs down.
Very current, actually, though, with everything going on. In case you didn't know, TERF stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. So in my eyes, why the heck are you even using feminism in your name? Like, don't you dare discredit that word. I don't know. But yeah, to break it down, using protecting women as an excuse to project their transphobic agenda.
Yeah. And the thing I have, well, obviously I have a massive problem with it because it's explicitly transphobic. But beyond that, the sort of hierarchies that it promotes heteronormativity, cisnormativity, these strict gendered hierarchies that essentially just serve to strip away the rights of women rather than promote them. If you actually look at the associations of like TERF groups, a lot of them collaborate with far right groups like anti-rights, specifically anti-women's rights groups, and as well like anti-LGBTQIA plus groups. And my question is, if they claim to be feminist, why are they associating with groups and with ideological positions that explicitly oppose feminism, that oppose women's rights? To me, it doesn't make sense. To me, it seems like something that's completely manufactured. If you're saying, oh, yeah, you know, trans men aren't men, trans women aren't women, because women are actually, there's a special little biological thing that makes them, you know, only women or only men, that you're advocating for gender essentialism. You're advocating for the idea that women are naturally one thing and men are naturally the other, which then presupposes these hierarchies which subordinate women 99% of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. And I think it also kind of raises the question to me, like, because I feel like their whole claim to fame is it's unnatural. Like, it's not it's not the natural way for women. Yeah, bringing in the whole kind of like biological debate. But then, like, how do you explain intersex?
A lot of the times deny it, or they say that intersex people are essentially like abominations, right? They say, not quite that language, but they say that it's like, this is a disorder, this is an identity, which again is incredibly dismissive, is incredibly offensive, and it's just not accurate. The idea that sex is binary is just wrong. If you have intersex people, at best it's binomial, where you have like, there's a majority of people are born in one way male and then a majority of people are born in one way female, but then you have different, like, you have variations of that across a spectrum. So there is no binary to it. There is no sort of cut and dry, this is a man, this is a woman. And it's actually pretty horrible that in a lot of countries they still elect for surgeries on intersex babies. Like, and these ones are not, because there are medically necessary surgeries, but a lot of the surgeries that are done are not medically necessary, essentially cosmetic. And so what you're doing is you're, what they call, in quotes, normalizing the gender of the child without their consent. Again, it's not medically necessary. They could grow up later in life and then give consent for that if they're not feeling like that's what they identify with. But there are cases where, and this is a quite infamous one with a man called Dr. John Money. And essentially what he did was, there was a child who had a botched circumcision, and they decided to normalize their gender by essentially turning them into a female by their standards. And this child eventually grew up and ended up taking their own life. So it shows that people's gender identity is a very strong thing. You can't force a trans person to not be trans, and you can't force a person who isn't trans to be trans. You can't force intersex people to be something that they're not, because it ends up in a lot of pain, both mental and physical. It's just horrible.
And there has been cases, it's genuinely so sad, like where people who are born intersex and they haven't had the choice at birth, and they've grown up and they've actually like come out and said they felt like a piece of them is genuinely missing. And I think that's just so heartbreaking. And let's just make it real clear, it's not a choice. Trans women are women, trans men are men. And the biggest threat to feminism, the biggest threat to women, is not trans people. Like, that is not the issue. So I don't know why TERFs are kind of using that as their front to push their political agenda. Don't listen to TERFs.
That's great advice. I like that advice. I think on the other end of that, there is, I remember seeing a particular branch of feminism. I don't think it's that popular, but it was like separatist feminism or something along those lines. And it was essentially advocating for the complete separation or segregation of men and women. And in some cases, it's complete and total. So a woman can do society on their own without men entirely. Or in other cases, it's encouraging women to actively live their lives without men, maybe for a period of time. Mm. And it sort of intersects with sort of into queer theory, like lesbian feminism, where it's saying that, you know, women who can have relationships with other women and explicitly can exclude men from their lives. And then this other branch of feminism is saying that, well, because a lot of women aren't lesbian, then they should sort of just live their lives completely segregated from men, which I think is a really odd thing to do. I don't think that's the right way to do the feminism. Yeah, I don't think reinventing segregation is the right way to do it, especially because there are a lot of men that are also harmed by patriarchy and by heteronormativity and all these other hierarchies. So just like how segregating a group of people based on race is bad, I think segregating a group of people based on gender is bad. The problem is the social structures in place that need to be changed, not the inherent just gender of people.
And I think kind of going back to that, what we've covered, everyone has kind of different ideas of what feminism means to them. But I just think a big thing that I want to say is, with TERFs in mind, especially if your womanhood and your femininity is so threatened by that of another woman, you need to take a hard look at yourself in the mirror and think, what actually does it mean to be a feminist? Because it's not bringing other women down. That's not what it is, and that it should never be about that. And I think that the biggest solution for these kind of types of feminism that we don't agree with is, in my eyes, intersectional feminism is the best way forward.
Yeah, I think very broadly, recognizing the differences in terms of things like race, in terms of sex and gender, in terms of class, all of these things, while advocating for women's rights, for gender equality, just being conscious of those things, I think, is really important. And even if you're not particularly one kind of feminist or another, don't really need to be. You don't need to be like a liberal feminist, like a classic liberal, like a Marxist feminist or anything like that. Just being a feminist in the broadest sense and understanding intersectionality, that's all you really need.
Yeah, you don't have to fit into a mold. Just fight for equality and equity. That's all I would say.
Just be you, really. Fight the patriarchy, essentially.
Yep. That's what feminism is about, is breaking down the patriarchy. That's all we have time for today. This is such a broad topic. We could talk about it for ages, and I wish we could. But thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.